We spoke a few years ago, mostly about your wonderful photography. And it's great to speak with you again.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you.
Now, I have to tell you, I laughed my head off watching the commercial that you did with Zachary for the Audi and going golfing. Hilarious.
Good. It worked so well. Yeah, we had a good time doing it.
That's great. Are the two of you good friends?
Yes, we are. We see each other whenever possible. He's been extremely busy. He's been out with several of the other actors doing appearances all around the world, literally, for the new Star Trek movie. They went to South America, to Australia, to Russia, to Germany, to Japan. They've been all over the place promoting Star Trek Into Darkness and done a great job of it. The response to the movie has been wonderful.
It has.
We will see Zachary again in the near future, probably I'm meeting up in New York sometime in a week or two, but we're very good friends and we enjoy each other's company.
Terrific. And how do you like the way that J.J. Abrams has reinvented and extended the Star Trek movies? Are they to your liking?
We have been very, very lucky that he came along and did what he has done. He broadened the audience, made it accessible to a lot of people who never paid much attention to Star Trek before. Star Trek has gone through several reincarnations, and this is a new one. And Mr. Abrams is very, very responsible in a very positive way for giving us a whole new life. It's really great, really great. I'm very, very proud of him and proud of the cast. They're great people, and they've done a great job.
Gene Roddenberry's vision is extraordinary. As I was watching this week, a new thing where you could hold your cell phone up to a barcode and get all the information you needed, I was reminded of the tricorder and how long ago Gene Roddenberry foresaw that.
Yeah.
You had a chance to work with him. What kind of guy was he?
He was a very complex man, very intelligent, very bright. He had a great imagination. Above all, what he wanted to stress with Star Trek was the potential for mankind. You know, when we went on the air in 1966, there were some very interesting and successful books being written about extraterrestrials who had visited Earth in earlier times and were responsible for some of the great things that had happened on Earth that were unexplained. And Mr. Roddenberry was very upset about that. He took the position that whatever was accomplished on Earth was accomplished by humans, and that great accomplishments were still to come in the future. And he didn't want to be hearing about these fantasy ideas of aliens who came to Earth and created the pyramids or something like that. You know, he said humans are capable of all of these things and will do extraordinary things in the future. And I think that was expressed in Star Trek.
And you've lived with Spock for a long time. Has he become like a part of your own personality?
I think that was true some time ago. Certainly when we were doing the television series, because you have to understand I was in that character 12 hours a day, 5 days a week for 3 years. So I probably became much more Spock-like then. I think I'm much more relaxed about who I am now.
Is it true that you invented the Vulcan nerve pinch?
I did. I did. It was because I just didn't believe in that Spock should do a lot of fist fighting. I left that to Captain Kirk, let him do the kicking and the punching. And I found what I thought was a very simple and elegant way to deal with an adversary. Come up and put your hand on his neck and then he drops like a rock. Unconscious. That takes care of that. Thank you. Goodbye.
That's great. You have to show me that someday.
Okay. I've had a lot of people ask me how to teach them how to do that so they can do it to their wives or husbands or kids. Yeah.
And the unique hand salute. What's the genesis of that?
Well, when I was about 8 or 9 years old in synagogue with my family during holiday services. I saw this gesture being done by the members of the priestly tribe who were blessing the congregation, and I was taken with it. I thought, well, that's really a magical thing. I wonder what that's all about, and I learned how to do it with my hand. I found out later that it's from an ancient Hebraic blessing from the Kabbalah, where the blessing is, may the Lord bless you and keep you and so forth, and it's part of the blessing. It's a symbol of a blessing.
Quite wonderful, isn't it? To have.
I thought it would be interesting to introduce into the show. I had no idea that it would become as popular and as widespread as it has become. As a matter of fact, the first time I met President Obama, he did it for me. He gave me the Balkan blessing.
That's great.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And what do you think are Spock's best trait and his worst trait?
Best, I would say, probably is his usefulness, his ability to cut to the heart of a problem and be useful. You know, when I was a kid, the Lone Ranger was very popular on radio. And by the way, there's a Lone Ranger movie coming out pretty soon. I'm looking forward to seeing that, because when we played Lone Ranger on the streets, I didn't want to be the Lone Ranger. I wanted to be Tonto, his faithful friend, because Tonto, for me, was a magical character. Tonto was an Indian who had talents that the Lone Ranger did not have. Tonto was a person who, for example, could look at the ground and tell you how many people had passed this way by the footprints. And he could tell how long ago they had been here and how many of them there were, and whether they were on horseback or on foot. He could put his ear to the railroad tracks and tell you when the train was going to be getting here. That kind of information that was useful to the Lone Ranger. And I think that's the same characteristic that Spock provides in the Star Trek series. He has interesting and important information for you. Worst trait, I guess, is probably getting in touch with his own emotions. There are emotions in that character, and Spock has worked very hard to repress them, and that can be a dangerous thing. Emotions can kind of well up and surprise you if you repress them too long.
What's been your greatest source of pride in having played this iconic character?
I think probably the fact that I'm touched when I hear from people who say Spock was useful to me in my life. I think particularly young people, teenagers, who go through turbulent periods in their lives, and they see a character like Spock and think, I think I'll try to be more like him to kind of live in better control of my emotions, so that I'm not be at the mercy of your emotions, I think is a very helpful thing. And a lot of young people have had that experience, and I found the Spock character useful. I feel blessed when I hear that kind of comment.
You've told me,
Gloria, would you mind making this your last question?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Nimoy, you've told me before that you are good friends with William Shatner, and the animosity between you is a totally something that's fabricated. Is he jealous that Spock has continued in the new movies and Kirk has not?
Oh, God, we haven't discussed that. I don't know. That's a question you'd have to ask Bill. I just don't see Bill as a jealous person. I don't think that's in his nature.
And
I don't think so. We're talking about a guy who's one of your Canadian homegrown talents. He's a great talent.
Yes, and it's not like he isn't busy.
No, that's right. Very, very busy guy. What's he got to be jealous of? Very busy guy.
Okay. Mr. Nimoy, thank you so much.
It's great to talk to you. Live long and prosper.
And you too, sir. Thanks very much.
Thank you.